So Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And now, God, would you bless the reading of your word and the teaching of your word? Would you capture and direct our hearts to you for our good and for your glory? In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. I came across a little quote this week that made me chuckle. It goes like this. The trouble with being a leader today is that you can't be sure whether people are following you or chasing you. The trouble with being a leader today is that you can't be sure whether people are following you or chasing you. And perhaps that just feels incredibly apt in our culture today of things going viral and people having opinions and comments and reviews and all sorts of ways people can respond, whether they are grounded or not. Just perhaps maybe feels a little more apt today than it ever has. I share that because I found it funny, but I share that because our passage this morning, actually, that I read, is bracketed by this idea of leadership. So in chapter 13 and verse 7, remember your leaders, and in chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders. We certainly will not be covering this whole section today because, in part, it's complex and we don't have the fair. Maybe confession time. We won't cover this all because it's somewhat complex. And in order to address it, we'll need a little more time, the outside the camp imagery. That said, I can't help but tell you, I am sorely tempted to skip over that part and go straight to offering worship through our lips, because that's an incredible passage. But I will resist that temptation. And we will probably discuss the outside the camp imagery next Sunday. Today, we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter 13, and particularly probably verses 7 through 9. Now, as we come to this section, there is a way in which we can read it and simply see sort of get the feel, maybe that's what the way I'm looking to say it, of just sort of bullet pointed things. Are these even connected? Remember your leaders, Jesus is the same, and don't be led astray. It's almost as if we come to the end of what is meant to be an extended sermon, essentially. And at the end, he gets to the point of, oh, wow, I need to wrap up. Let me give the last few things on my list. Remember your leaders. And so bullet point, and we can almost see them as valuable, certainly. But then how do they fit? And they do, in fact, seem to fit together. In part, we see that, like I said, because he has chosen to bracket this section with the idea of leaders in the front end and on the back end, and then he turns the corner in verse 18 and specifically talks about him as one of the influencers, if you want to use that language, and say, pray for us as well. So there is some sort of logic here. What is it? In the midst of these exhortations, what is he calling them to? First of all, it seems awfully clear. So he begins. Remember your leaders. And essentially, I just want to pull out the three things he does. He tells you three things, and it's not hard for us to get them. Remember them. Consider the outcome in ESV, and we'll look at different ways that this is framed in different translations. Remember them, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate. Three calls in that one verse. So one at a time, let's just work through them. Remember your leaders, and then he clarifies that, those who spoke to you the word of God. Now, remember your leaders. Based on the whole verse, he's probably here talking about the leaders who have gone before. If you look at the next phrase, consider the outcome of their way of life. They have run their race. So he's probably talking about leaders who have gone before and to remember them. Now, to be clear, as we read the text, we understand that he's not simply saying, have nice, warm, fuzzy thoughts about your previous leaders. That's probably not a bad thing to have those thoughts, but he's calling to more. He's calling to this place of remembering in a way that leads to. And so he says, remember your leaders, in particular the ones who have spoken the word of God to you. Those who have been faithful in teaching you. Those who have brought the word day in, day out, regularly at least. Who have pointed you to this better way. The author of Hebrews' implication is, this better way I have rehearsed for you over and over again in these last 12 chapters. Now, pause, and let me make an obvious observation. In order to remember something, you have to have had it in your life. So in order to remember leaders who have spoken well the word of God, who have taught well the word of God, there is a way in which we have to have implemented the habit of sitting under those kinds of leaders and teachers. Now I realize in saying this, we cannot rewind and say, I should have done this differently. But I say that for two reasons. One is, from this point forward, to have a posture, if it hasn't been there in the past, or just as a way to check my consistent input and habits, to say, do I have these kinds of leaders and teachers? Am I intentionally placing them in my life in a way that I sit under them so that my life is changed? That's obviously the direction he's going with this verse. So that's the one reason. The other reason is to think back and say, who are those that have been? And have I appreciated them in a way that leads to emulating them? It's no secret where he's going here in verse 7. But have I placed? So the first obvious thought is to just check and say, wait a minute. In order to remember, I have to have I had, and who are they? Have I then done the next thing he's talking about? Then, in order to continue to follow this, I need to have them in place. Will I, do I have those kinds of leaders intentionally in place? We have someone who's looking for someone.
Great. Thank you very so much. I appreciate that. Sorry.
Remember your leaders. Number one, remember. Number two, he tells us, consider the outcome of their way of life. I believe it's the New English Translation renders that considered that's in the ESV. It renders reflect on. That's the idea. It's not simply consider. It's turn it around in your mind, think about it, reflect upon it, give it some serious, intentional, careful attention. The import of that exhortation is a regular, continued, careful attention. Reflect on. Reflect on how they poured into your life. Reflect on what they've taught. Reflect on what they've shown you, really. So, because it fits me too, it's remember, and then it's reflect on. What are we to reflect on? Reflect on the outcome of their way of life. Some versions render that a result. In other words, their journey has been completed, as we noted. These leaders probably have passed on, but they've left a sort of legacy. But look at what we are supposed to reflect on. We are supposed to reflect on the outcome of their faith, the result of their faith. They've exhibited a faithfulness. Now watch what's happening here. They've exhibited a faithfulness to the end. And so in particular, as he writes to the Hebrews, who he is pleading to persevere, to hang on, he's offering these leaders and say, reflect upon their lives and how their faithfulness, their faith in God has persevered to the end. They have continued to trust. Note, they've done that. Note, it's possible. Note, it's worthwhile. There's another, though, connection here. It's just sort of natural, but I want to pull it out for sure. Remember your leaders. What kind of leaders? Those who spoke to you the word of God. Remember those who taught the word of God. Okay, watch. Consider the outcome of their way of life. What is my point? There is a natural connection between teaching and conduct. There is a natural connection between the word of God leading to obedience to the word of God in the way that your faith lives out. There's this natural assumed connection that those who have taught well have lived well. Those who have led well have lived well. These are the kind of leaders we are to reflect upon and remember, and those who have done so to the end. Remember them. So the remembering and the reflecting actually leads to the third thing, which is imitating. If we follow the R's, we resemble their faith. We remember, we reflect on in order to resemble. Now, we heard about this last week in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. This language is not uncommon in the New Testament, but we should pause for a moment and just clarify that the author of Hebrews here is telling us a specific point to the remembering. So the remembering and the reflection is not mere navel gazing. It's not empty introspection. The remembering and reflecting is not, well, it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not bemoaning the good old days. There is a way in which we can remember the good old days and complain, right? Not that we would do that, but some people do. That's not the point here. It's not to remember. Remember the good old days where we used to do this? Yes. Let's remember those in a sort of way that we appreciate them. But that's not this either. It's not to remember in order to just appreciate the old days. And what are we to reflect on? The outcome of their way of life and to imitate their faith. It's not to venerate them. It's not to lift them up to a place of higher status than they ought to be. In fact, it's to see their faith, their trust in God, and the magnification of the gospel. The whole message of Hebrews up to this point, it's to imitate that. So it's to resemble the result of trusting in God faithfully and in a way that perseveres. Our remembering and our reflecting upon is precisely in order to resemble, to live out the faith that makes much of Jesus. And so that is the third piece, imitate their faith. We see this in Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Or in Philippians chapter 3, brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have set, you have in us. There is a peace here, especially when Paul is talking to the church at Philippi. There is a peace here in the resembling. It's surrounding ourselves with those leaders we can remember, but with others around us, we can live and serve as examples for and serve, seeing their example, encouraging one another in a way that continues this perseverance. We are to resemble their faith. Now remember in Hebrews that faith is a trust. It's the confidence in the based on the hope of Christ. So it is not, we want to be careful here how we remember. There is a way to remember those who have gone before us. Those who were good teachers of the word, perhaps even heroes of the faith. And maybe it's just me, but there's a way in which you can say, oh, they were so incredible. I could never be like that. Wow, look at that. That's amazing. That's not it. So there's no, that's not the veneration piece. There is a way to do that, to put them on a pedestal, but it is more imitate their faith. Or how about this? There is a way to look at people like, I think it's George MacDonald, who had incredible faith, right? And he would pray, and they'd have no food, and food would end up at the doorstep, and say, well, it never happened to me. Apparently, I can't pray like that. Like, that's not the point either. It's not to be that person. It's not to imitate that person in a way that you want to be that person. It's not to do the things that that person did. That's not the point. It's to imitate what? Their faith. Their faith in whom? Jesus Christ. Imitate their trust. Imitate. So here it is. We could put it like this. Imitate the posture of faith, which is then, it's a posture of faith in Christ, magnifying him, which I think, by the way, is the intentional reason for the next verse. Just saying. Imitate their faith, their posture of trusting in the magnificence of the gospel, the better than Jesus, better than Moses, better than angels, better than anything else, and live it out in life particular ways that fit where God has placed you. The imitation is don't be them, be like Jesus. The imitation is imitate their faith, imitate their posture, imitate their confidence in what the word of God that they preached to you. That will result in faithful obedience. Imitate their trust in the reality and the resurrection, in the magnificence of Jesus. Imitate your leaders. I love what Peter Drucker said about leadership. He said, leadership is not about magnetic personality. That can just as well be a glib tongue. How true. It's not about making friends and influencing people. That's flattery. Leadership is lifting a person's vision to higher sights. It's the raising of a person's performance to higher standards. It's the building of a personality beyond its normal limitations. That's in a secular secular picture, but I think you can make the connection, right? The leaders we're looking for are not those who have a magnetic personality primarily. It's not those who can speak well necessarily. It's not those who are charismatic people by themselves, by itself. It's those who point us to Jesus. So imitate their faith, imitate their posture, imitate the way they've lived it out. So remember those leaders who have poured into you. Remember how they've trusted or taught. And remember they taught in a way that submitted to the Word of God. And remember that they taught in a way that trusted it as true. Remember that they did that in a way that connected with life. Pause, slow down for a moment. Let that sink in. Remember your leaders in a way that you long to resemble their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Remember your leaders because their faith is in Jesus Christ. Remember your leaders because their faithfulness persevered to the end. Their faith in Jesus Christ led to faithfulness that persevered to the end. Or maybe it would be better to put that in trust. Trust persevered to the end. And remember that that is based upon the character of Jesus. Jesus, the Jesus they had faith in, the ones you remember, is the same Jesus. So now remember how he's speaking to the audience who is, he's calling to persevere to the end. And some surely are tempted to give up and turn to other things, which is why he's calling them to these particular things. So the reminder is that this is based in Jesus. Your leader's faithfulness is based in Jesus yesterday. They've passed. But that same Jesus is Jesus today, so hang on. And that same Jesus is Jesus forever, so he will be faithful to the end, beyond the end, through eternity. So it would go something like this. The beauty, I'm going to read this because I can't get it otherwise. The beauty and bedrock truth of Jesus, upon which your leaders based their lives and teaching, Jesus is the same yesterday, is still perfectly and completely true and real today, Jesus is the same today, and will be undiminishingly true and vibrantly real forever. Jesus is the same forever. That's the bedrock upon which we live our lives. Hang in there. So remember the way that God has placed godly leaders in your life. Continue to sit under their teaching and their living and imitate that faith, knowing that Jesus is the one who sustains that foundationally, and knowing that Jesus was and is and will be forever. And so, that's true. And that is comforting. But sometimes I have to, when I'm reading, I pause to check myself. And I wonder here, it's relatively easy for us to agree that Jesus is the same yesterday. Like, we've got the stories, we've got the gospels, we saw it. Like, yes! He's real. Yes, this is true. And I think it's pretty easy for us to say Jesus is the same forever. Like, Jesus is in heaven right now. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's going to return someday on that giant horse, and it's going to be amazing. Like, maybe this is just me, but I think that those things are relatively easy for us to picture in our heads. But what about Jesus today? Like, do we really believe Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Gospels, the Jesus Christ of resurrection, the Jesus Christ who is now reigning and with God the Father, is sitting at his right hand, do we really believe he's the same today? Practically believe the same today. Now, don't misunderstand me. We could swing this clear in the wrong direction and be all, well, forgive me, charismatic, and go too far. But I wonder if we go far enough sometimes. We say things like, oh man, I wish I could have walked with his disciples and seen Jesus like they did. Like we're missing out today. Like we get less of an experience of Jesus today. Now, we don't mean to say that, and we don't think that's true theologically because we believe rightly, but like sometimes does that creep in? Why doesn't Jesus still do fill in the blank? Why does Jesus feel so distant? If I just walk with Jesus is the same today as he was then. Jesus is the same today as he will be forever. Jesus is the same. Now, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? Because you should be pushing back in your mind saying, yeah, but he's not here right now. You are correct in one sense. So, how do we tease that out? And in one way, I have to answer, I don't know. Practically for you, I don't know. But we do have to come back to the truth that Jesus, Jesus' position is different. Like his position for the disciples was like firmly fixed right bodily in front of him, right in front of them. Now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So that's imprecise language, but I think you get the idea. His position is different, yet his power is the same. His purpose is the same. His presence will remain. His promise will remain. He's not on earth anymore in a bodily way. He no longer walks beside us. But watch this. He also said some crazy things. He said, I'm going to leave and it's to your benefit. Wait a minute, how did that happen? Well, because the Spirit of God, his very Spirit indwells us now. Is that Jesus the same? Yes, he's the same. Has he left us? No, he has not left us. He has equipped us with his very Spirit. He doesn't teach us to pray like he did the disciples. Well, in one sense, you're right. Although he gave us that prayer. It's right in here. You should look it up sometime. It's good. In one sense, that's true. But you might say, but no, he doesn't teach us to pray in the same way he did the disciples when they walked, but he prays for us. The author of Hebrews brings that to us. He says, he's interceding on our behalf. So are we worse off? Like, is the same Jesus our Jesus today? Maybe I'm preaching to me. But there is a sense, sometimes, or a danger, perhaps, I might say, where we forget that this same Jesus is the same Jesus that is working on our behalf this very day. This same Jesus is the one who holds us. This same Jesus is the one who is interceding for us. This same Jesus will return for us. Yes, he's the same today. That Jesus is the one we proclaim faith in. That Jesus is the one we expectantly long for while we live for him today. So remember your leaders. Reflect on their conduct. That the truth, the Word of God that we long to grow into and learn more of is the one we long to live out, reflect on, and then resemble, imitate their faith, because that same Jesus is our Jesus. That same Lord reigns. That same Savior still saves. He's still working in his church. And so we want to emulate that and point to him. That is the call. So the positive, remember your leaders, imitate. The ground, if you will, the reason, the foundational truth is because Jesus Christ, the magnificence of the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ is the same. He's undiminishing. He's still working. He's always true. And then it leads to the negative. The do not, as a result, do this. In verse 9, Now let's touch just briefly on verse 9, because verse 9 begins to get into an imagery that is continued through verse 10 and following, and we will not have time to discuss verse 10 and following. So let's just make a few simple observations of verse 9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. 4. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. So we get his point. Remember your leaders to imitate their faith. Be faithful to Jesus, he continues, and he will hold you. In contrast, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Now, historically, we need to pause here and just make a note. We don't know what those things were that the author was originally referring to. He no doubt had in mind something probably specific for his original audience. We don't know what they were. We can draw some conclusions based on his whole flow of argument in Hebrews. We can say things like it was probably related to the Old Testament. It was probably related to the law and Moses because of the imagery he uses with the tabernacle and with angels and repeatedly talking about how Jesus is better than Moses. Yes, we can say that, but we don't know specifically. We do know how he describes these teachings. Number one, they are diverse. And number two, they are strange. How in the world are they strange and diverse? Well, based on the flow, we can make a few observations. Diverse, meaning they diverge from, they are separate from, they are not unified, they are not central to what is Christian. In particular, what is Christ? Verse 8, Jesus Christ. They are not based upon him. So we might say a few things about this diverse teaching. Diverse and strange teaching is teaching that contradicts the grace and truth of the gospel of Christ. If it contradicts the grace and truth of the gospel of Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then it's strange and diverse. Don't follow it. If it confuses the grace and truth of the gospel of Christ, it is strange and diverse. Don't follow it. It should be clear. The gospel should be clear. Jesus as Messiah and Savior should be central. If it confuses, or if it calls away from the grace and truth of the gospel of Christ, it is strange and diverse. It is Jesus and his grace only, not Jesus and his grace and. It is Jesus and his grace. It is the truth of the gospel centrally. Not Jesus, but let's follow these other ideas. So it doesn't. We don't come on ramp to Jesus and then take a tour somewhere else. It's Jesus, and everything else we pursue, everything else we submit to, everything else we grow into and learn and sit under in terms of teaching is teaching that honors the gospel, that points to Jesus and God's work of redemption through him. This is the contrary of the strange and diverse teaching. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Why? It's interesting, by the way, that he says in verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. And then in verse 9, he says, don't be led astray by these things. In other words, submit to the teachings of the word of God. Listen and bend your ear primarily to the teachings of the word of God. Do not be led away by the diverse and strange teachings. Why? For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Okay, why is it we should not be led astray? Because foundationally, grace is the only thing that saves us. It is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. In contrast to what? Not by foods which have not benefited those who have devoted. What in the world is he talking about by foods? We need food. It seems as if you have NIV, by the way, I think it reads ceremonial foods. It clarifies, it interprets for you, it's ceremonial foods. It's probably correct, especially when we get to the next verses and we realize the context of Hebrews in which he has used this imagery of the law of Moses and these various Old Testament laws and regulations. And in verses 10 and following, he brings us back to the sacrificial system and the altars and things like that. It seems that he is using this imagery of food as the idea of the law of Moses or something like that. It's not that, it's grace. It's not that, it's the gospel. In short, he is coming back to his grand argument from beginning to end. Jesus is better than empty regulation and religiosity. Jesus is better than that. There's a second sort of picture here as he brings up this concept of food, which have not benefit those devoted to them. The foods that they have continued to eat are foods that have not sustained them, are foods that have not, the benefited word is the idea of continually giving them the sustenance, the things that they need. In contrast, who is the one who sustains us utterly and completely when we feed on him? Symbolically, feed on him. He uses this same sort of imagery the author of Hebrews does in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. According to this arrangement, the Old Testament sort of law framework, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink, and various washings and regulations of the body imposed until the time of Reformation. This is not benefiting the worshiper. It doesn't clean their conscience. It doesn't sustain them. It's not what they need. Jesus uses this same language. Perhaps you remember it from John chapter 6 when he says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." You will be sustained. You will be risen. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And many could not stomach this teaching. Do not be led away by those teachings which would diverge from the centrality of the gospel, contradict it, confuse it, or call us in any way away from the truth. It's not Jesus and, it's Jesus only. So turn to him and follow him and be led by him. The trouble with being a leader today is you can't be sure whether people are following you or chasing you. Some would say we have a crisis of leadership today. We are called in Hebrews to choose our leaders well, but some would also say we have a crisis of followership today. Because in the midst of whatever's going on in our culture, we've lost trust and we refuse to submit to anyone at all. And the call of the church and the call from Hebrews is to remember those leaders who have served Christ well and taught you well and lived well, and in order to follow the one who they followed, follow him for yourself well. Do not be led away by a culture who tells you different. Do not be led away by earning through religiosity. Do not be led away by any other teaching but that which says Jesus is the Messiah. He is who he says he is. He does what he says he does, and he always will. Follow him and follow him alone well. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our minds we can remember. We can reflect upon. Forgive us when we live in a world that is so busy we don't pause to reflect. And when we do that, help us to reflect on the things that matter. Those you have placed in our lives who have taught the word well and shown us how to imitate what it means to trust in you. Help us to reflect on them so that we might trust in you better. Help us to intentionally sit under that teaching, that kind of leadership, so that we might reflect upon it and grow in you, because you are our foundation and our hope. Your salvation, the good news of the gospel, Jesus, remains the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Jesus is, not was, is, and will be forever. May we be followers of Jesus, growing in the magnificence of his grace and the obedience to his truth. To your grace and your truth. In your name we pray. Amen.